We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
A New Zealand company is held to account over a tourist tragedy. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for tuning in. A New Zealand court has ruled that a tour company breached health and safety regulations in relation to the 2019 White Island volcano disaster, where 22 people died. The judge said Wakari Management Limited, which licensed other companies to run tours to the volcano, had failed in its duty to minimise risk. It's now facing a fine of just under $1 million. Here's more from the BBC's Katie Silver.
The volcano was inherited originally by three brothers. It's been in the same family since 1936. That's James, Andrew and Peter Buttle, who set up this company. And according to the judge, they managed and controlled basically the active volcano. It had been erupting in some form since 2011 and was a relatively popular tourist destination. But as you mentioned, when it erupted back in the December of 2019, almost half of the 47 people who were present on the island were killed. 17 were tourists from Australia, 3 from the US, 2 from New Zealand. Another 25 were injured, many suffering extensive burns, an absolutely huge disaster. Now, it was found that the volcano had been showing signs of unrest for weeks, with workplace regulators saying the eruption was not unforeseeable, but tour operators were unprepared. Now, there were 13 parties originally charged. Charges against 6 were dropped in the end. But as I say, according to this one, the judge has criticised the company, saying they had astonishing failures, that they failed when it comes to liaising and interacting with the country's geological risk agencies, that it was ad hoc, infrequent, unstructured, and that they could face just shy of $1 million US in fines when it comes up in February.
The BBC's Katie Silver reporting. Now, let's do the numbers. The World Bank's warning oil prices could rise to more than $150 a barrel if the conflict in the Middle East escalates. Meanwhile, the energy giant BP has posted profits of $3.3 billion, up from the previous quarter, but lower than expected and down from the same period in 2022 due to lower oil prices. And in Asia, stocks are down after new data shows China manufacturing activity contracted in October. Now, in other news, the government of Haiti has suspended all flights to Nicaragua, which has become a regular connection point for migrants trying to reach the US. 6 charter flights were scheduled to arrive in Managua from Haiti on Monday, the BBC's Leonardo Rocha reports.
The decision took hundreds of people by surprise at the international airport in Port-au-Prince. It's not clear whether the Haitian government was told by the US, its main foreign aid donor, to cancel the flights. But the Biden administration had been calling for measures to curb illegal migration. Nicaragua has been accused of using its loose migration policies to retaliate against economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. President Daniel Ortega has removed visa requirements for citizens from Haiti, Cuba, and some African countries, in the knowledge that they will most certainly travel north towards the Mexico-U.S. border as soon as they land in Nicaragua.
That was Leonardo Rocha reporting. It's Halloween today, and scaring people is big business. In the US alone, the National Retail Foundation expects 2023's Halloween spending to hit a record $12 billion. And part of this industry is dark tourism. That's when you visit scenes or replicate the experiences of horrendous moments in history, as the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson has been finding out at one of London's most notorious attractions.
Traitors! You find yourselves in the Tower of London's torture chamber.
Since opening in 1974, the London Dungeon has been immersing visitors in some of the most frightening events in the city's history, including witch interrogations, the bubonic plague and the Great Fire of London. And perhaps foolishly, I decided to visit just before Halloween. After a genuinely petrifying 90-minute tour, I retired to the eerie surroundings of a Victorian bar slash gift shop to chat to some of the visitors. I wanted to find out why people enjoyed being scared. For Joanna Klaus from Germany, it's pretty simple.
Knowing something will start and you don't know when or when it starts, it's scary. It's kind of fun. It's a kick.
But for Nish Shah from Buckinghamshire in the south of England, dark tourism has a deeper meaning. In fact, one of his most memorable trips was to the killing fields of Cambodia.
In my children's generation, they probably won't have expected that kind of genocide on that kind of a scale and place the psyche behind people in their actions.
Nish mentioned wanting to get into the psyche of people who do horrific things. And Matthias Claesson, the co-director of the Recreational Fear Lab at the University of Aarhus, Denmark, says this is completely normal.
It's a very natural human need to play with fear and to learn about dangers in the world. When you watch a true crime television show, you're trying to get into the mind of a dangerous person and learn what makes them tick.
And this psychology can be put to good business use. In early October, Matthias and a colleague visited Liseberg Amusement Park in Gothenburg, Sweden, to conduct an experiment called Peak Fear, where two volunteers faced their ultimate nightmares, like being chased by an evil clown or being placed in a room full of spiders. Liseberg's marketing manager, Carl Sveerdung, told me they're hoping to use the findings to help personalise their scary attractions and pull in the visitors.
Every year we want to offer new scary experiences for our audiences. And this collaboration gives us new insights on how we could develop and be world class on scary experiences. But maybe we can go a little bit more into the tailored scary experiences after this experiment.
Back in the London Dungeon, the visit certainly provoked a reaction in me. Having just about recovered from the experience, this is the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Ooh, some spooky reporting there. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producers today, James Ghastly Graham, Naomi Thunder Lightning and Rainey, Liz Murderous Mahi, and our editor is Joe Creepy Critcher. I'm Liana Blood-Curdling Byrne. Happy Halloween, and thanks so much for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.